to the official podcast for St. Philip's Episcopal Church in Rochester, Michigan. You can learn more about our church at our website, stpfeeds.org. Our Sunday services are at 8 and 10 a.m., and all are welcome. This podcast is the sermon for Sunday, July 8th, 2018, by the Reverend Eric Williams.
For you, does success look like? What is success in your life and in your mind? Success is the goal, I think, for almost everyone in our culture, a desire to make it, to achieve some kind of success, whether that be financial or otherwise. We look towards success. But in my life, I want to say that success is often a moving target. I remember my very first car. In 1986, when I graduated from college, I got a brand new car, and I loved this car. It cost, I remember this exactly, $6,000. And it was a Toyota Tercel. And it came with all kinds of great features, like no power steering, and no power windows, and no radio, and no air conditioning. But I didn't care. I even drove it across country from Los Angeles to New York to my first job in the middle of summer with no air conditioning. Driving, I have to say, at night, because going through the desert with no air conditioning is really challenging. But I love that car. It symbolized for me success. And I could fit literally all of my earthly possessions fit in that Toyota Tercel. Well, today, all these years later, you know what? I can't conceive of a car that doesn't have air conditioning and power windows and power steering. I've gotten accustomed, as my standard of living has increased, my expectations have too. My first house did not have an automatic garage door opener. A couple weeks ago, when ours was on the fritz, I thought the world was coming to an end. How can you live without an automatic garage door opener? Expectations of success are ever changing. And I think we feel a burden sometimes of success. I learned a word this past year that I had never learned before, an acronym. And my guess is that if you're under 30, you know this word, which is FOMO. Raise your hand if you know what FOMO is. Yeah? Yeah? Oh, we got quite a range of ages. What is FOMO? Fear of missing out. Fear of missing out is a terrible burden that we have in a success-oriented culture. And I'll tell you, the worst place to experience FOMO is on Facebook. We should call it FOMO Book, because you go on Facebook and you see all the fantastic things that everybody else is doing. I mean, the meals that they're eating are incredible. The vacations that they're taking are amazing. Their family and friends all look like models. And you think to yourself, I am a failure. My life is miserable. I have nothing to offer compared to this amazing stuff that I'm seeing everybody else doing on Facebook. But it's kind of a myth, isn't it? Because often on Facebook, what you're seeing is the carefully curated lives of people and not the real story, not the rest of the story, not the moments of loneliness and failure and depression and isolation. All you see is the really good stuff. And so you compare the best of other people's lives to the ordinariness or the worst of your own life, and you feel unsuccessful. Keeping up with the Joneses, I think, has been around as long as there have been more than two human beings. We have been trying to keep up with each other and comparing ourselves. I heard it once said that comparison is the root of all unhappiness. because it's an artificial standard of what success looks like for us. All right, so I'll stop ranting for a moment and say, what does all this have to do with our scriptures today? I'll tell you. When I read the scriptures today, I did not see one example of earthly success. God calls the prophet Ezekiel, and he says, Ezekiel, have I got a job for you? You are going to speak my words. You're going to be my prophet. And guess what? The people you go to are not going to listen to you at all. They're not going to pay any attention because they are stubborn and stiff-necked and rebellious and sinful. But at least they'll know that a prophet was among them. I'm calling you, Ezekiel, to a life of abject failure. Great. Wow. That's fantastic. What about in the gospel? Jesus himself, the Son of God, the embodiment of God's nature and life and love, come into the world. He goes to his hometown and falls flatter than a crepe. Just gets nowhere. His own neighbors, family, and friends reject his message. He was amazed at their unbelief. Jesus was a failure. In fact, Jesus continued to be a failure throughout his earthly ministry. Yes, crowds came to him, but they were the neediest kind of people. They weren't the good people, the rich people, the powerful people. They were those who were hungry for God. And Jesus' earthly life ended up in sacrifice, imprisonment, and death. St. Paul is also struggling with success and failure. St. Paul is you get a sense of his character if you read through all the epistles. St. Paul is an enormously proud man. He's proud of being a Roman citizen with all the privileges that that entails in the ancient world. He's proud of being a member of the tribe of Benjamin, proud of being one of the most educated of the religious leaders of his day, proud of his accomplishments and character and life. But when he encounters the risen Jesus, when his life is turned around, he realizes, and this must have been so painful for him as an enormously proud person, that to follow Jesus faithfully meant to sacrifice all the trappings of earthly success and to embrace his own failure. And he wrestles with that in this letter. He wrestles with this idea that a thorn has been given to him in the flesh. Now, we don't know what that was. Was it a physical ailment? Was it an emotional or spiritual problem? Maybe it was a person. You know, we talk about someone being a thorn in the flesh. We're talking about a person. Maybe it was a person for him who never gave him peace, who always brought him down. We don't know. But we know that for St. Paul, this was the path to spiritual wholeness and healing. Through this challenge, he realized that in order to become the person that he was meant to be, to fulfill the calling that God had given him, he needed to embrace not success and power, but weakness and failure. My grace is sufficient for you, for power is made perfect in weakness. This is the difficult message that we as Christians need to embrace. It's a countercultural message in a society that is addicted to success and the trappings of success. For Christians, success can never be our goal. And it sneaks in to the church even in insidious ways. You're a successful church if you're bursting at the seams with people. You're successful in your ministry if you're climbing some kind of ladder of success. We as Christians need to put that aside and meditate deeply on what success really means for us. What does it look like, instead of being successful, to be faithful? faithful like the prophet Ezekiel, who spoke God's word whether people accepted it or not. Faithful like St. Paul, who endured beatings and shipwrecks and imprisonment and ultimately death. Faithful like the apostles who went out two by two with nothing, no money, no change of clothes, totally dependent on the grace of God. What would that look like for us? To reject the external FOMO of success and embrace instead the calling of God, which comes to us in the still small voice when we can lay aside those other trappings, those other voices, those other enticements, and dwell in the peace of God, which passes all understanding. What would it look like for us to be truly faithful and to accept the grace of God and the power of God that is made perfect when we embrace and know and acknowledge our weakness and dependence on the God who knows us, who's not that impressed with our Facebook page, but who loves us nonetheless.